Thank you, Lord, for this day, and thank you for your word. Speak to us, Lord, through your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through this dark, fallen, broken, and decaying world. We need you today, Lord, more than ever. As the world seems to be falling apart, Lord, we need to hold on to you tighter and tighter, draw closer to you, listen that much more carefully to your voice, Lord, in the midst of all the distractions. Now speak to us through your word, Lord. We bless you for your word. We love you for your word, and we thank you for your word. Let us live your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I did say Luke 9 and 18. All right, so we are at Luke 9 and 18. Let's see what God wants to say this morning. And can you believe it is the first Sunday in December? Wow. Lord, help us finish this year strong. We're not going to wait to January 1. We are going to finish the year strong today. Somebody say amen. Amen. Luke 9 and 18. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, "Who say the people that I am?" I love that. Amen. Make a note. Jesus is alone praying. Family, we should always have our quiet time praying as well. Make a note. There's no way you're going to draw closer to God if you don't have alone time praying to God. Underline disciples. Disciples means that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Notice that the followers of Jesus Christ spend time with Jesus Christ. There's no way you can be a disciple of Jesus Christ and you don't spend time with him. Let's just cut that out. Let's stop playing right now. Let's tell the truth right now. If you're not spending time, quiet time, alone with Jesus Christ, you have to question whether you are a disciple or not. Is it that important to you? There's no way you can get to know anyone if you don't spend time with them, including God. So my wife and I have been counseling couples for decades. One of the age-old issues is that we don't spend time. We don't spend quality time together. And then here's Jesus. He's probably saying the same thing about you and I. I would really like to get to know you, but we don't spend any time together. So it's highly important. Make a note. If it was important enough for Jesus to pray to the Father, why aren't you praying daily to the Father? If it was that important that Jesus prayed to the Father, why is it that you and I think we can skate through life without praying and spending time with the Father? Who does the crowd say I am? I got one of these. Read this, Kathy. So I guess I got to read it. Jesus was speaking of the crowd in verses. Oh, well, let's go back to verses 12. Let's go back, turn back, if you'd like, I have to turn back. Let's start at 10. Jesus just sent out the disciples, and verse 10, we pick it up. And the apostles, when they were returned, told them all that they had done. And he took them, and he went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city of Bethsaida. Look, don't sleep on that. Jesus sent the disciples out, just like he sends you and I out. They returned. And then went aside privately into a desert place. Always come back to Jesus. You have people out preaching the gospel. Don't even check in with Jesus. don't even take the word with them. They just go out and do their thing. Never check in with God. And you can tell when you spend enough time with them that they're not close to God. They're not spending private time with God. But notice that Jesus took them to a desert place privately. Desert. I wrote it down. It's a lonely, it's a solitary, it can be a wilderness, it can be desolate. It's a rejected place. Sometimes God will take you to a rejected, lonely, solitary wilderness place. I didn't think I would get many amens with that, but he will. the desert place. But make a note, God is in the desert place. It's a place of brokenness. You can be barren, you can be alone, confused, exhausted, fearful, and afraid. But yes, God is in the desert place. Somebody make a note of that. It's not the time you give up on God, not the time you run from God. It's the time you run to, you spend private time, run to God, and listen to God. Verse 11, the people, when they knew it, followed him. So first he had his disciples privately, and then the crowd came. Everybody in the crowd is not a disciple. Everybody in the church is not a disciple. You got to spend that private time to become a true follower of Jesus Christ. Private time. How do we do it now? We do it in the word. We do it in prayer. Privately. Verse 11, of the people, when they knew it, followed him and he received them. Underline that Christ received them. Christ never turned anyone away who came to him until they rejected him. Christ receives, we reject. What do you mean? Look at verse 5. Go up to verse 5. He says, And whosoever will not receive you, family, we have to receive Christ. That's the only prerequisite to being saved. It's a free gift. You have to receive it, right? It's Christmas time, right? Amen. Some of you are going to get gifts. You're going to say thank you. Some people are going to say no, thank you. I don't want to receive anything from you, right? Amen. You just don't receive anything from anybody. It's especially when the strings attached. God loves us with no strings attached. We just have to receive it. People want to give you stuff, but you see the strings hanging from it? No, thank you. But verse 5, he says, and whosoever will not receive you, because everybody's not going to receive Christ. Family, when we're on our job, we're at the gym, we're at school, we're here, we're there. Everybody's not going to receive Christ. So what do? You don't take it personally. It says, but when you go out of that city, or when you go away from them, you shake the very dust off from your feet. And it's a testimony against them. You don't have to stand there and argue with people and fight them and argue them down about what the word says. When they don't want to receive God, it's a testimony against them. Just shake the spot. Keep it pushing. Look at verse 6. And they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. But they got rejected. Don't let the rejection stop you from serving God. And still serving God's people. So here we go. Well, look at verse 7. And now Herod the Tetrarch heard of that was done by him. And he was perplexed because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, John the Baptist. So here's what the people are saying. And then Jesus was asking them what the people were saying. Not that Jesus didn't know what the people were saying, but he just wanted to see where the disciples was. And some said that Elijah had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen. And Herod said, John, have I beheaded? But who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. And we're okay. Verse 10, where we picked it up, the apostles returned. Then look at verse 12. And when the day began to wear away, or the day began to decline, then came the 12, and they said unto him, send the multitude away that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get provision, for we are here in a desert place. Make a note. We're in a desert place. We're in a lonely place. We're in a solitary place. We're in a broken place. We're in a barren place. But look what Jesus said in verse 13. But he said unto them, give them what you have to eat. You give them what you have. You already have enough. Give them what you have. But they said, we don't have any more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy provision for or buy food for all the people. For there were about 5,000 men. It didn't include the women and children, so we know it was more than 5,000 people. And he said unto his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. I love that. Say, give them what you have. What we have right now is like, it's enough. God's going to bless it. Ask God to bless it so it can be enough. But then if you notice what Jesus said, make them sit down in companies of 50. Remember, we serve a God of order, detail, and specifics. It doesn't make sense. Sometimes God will not make sense. Amen. Oftentimes, God will not make sense. We got all these people, over 5,000 people. We got 5 loaves of bread. We have 2 fish. And he said, make them sit down in companies of 50. He told Joshua to walk around the wall of Jericho 7 times and scream. That makes absolutely no sense when we're in battle. God, that makes absolutely no sense. He told Gideon, you got too many men. He said, get rid of them all the way down to 300 and then go to battle. God, that makes absolutely no sense. That's why the private time with God is so important. Because family, we've been called to walk by faith and not by sight. If it makes sense to you, you might want to be concerned. Is God in it? If you're walking by sight, you might want to be concerned because you're not going to see everything. If you really have to evaluate your relationship with God. God said you walk by faith. You don't walk by sight. But we want to push and push and push and walk by sight. Then you can't be in the will of God walking by sight because it's contrary to scripture. You have to leave some God room in everything that you do. We have to leave some God room in everything that you and I do. We have to trust God and leave the details to God. Have them sit down in companies of 50. Verse 15, and they did so. Put a note in your Bible, in your notes, obedience. It didn't make sense, but they did it. Then he took the 5 loaves in verse 16 and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them. Family, what you have. God gives provision in the desert place. Ask God to bless it. You already have. He said, give them what you have. You already have everything. You and I have everything we need to walk in purpose for God. Ask God to bless it. Be obedient. Listen to God and then follow his directions. God does provide. God provides and God blesses in the wilderness. Make a note. And they did eat and were all filled, and there was taken up of fragments and remained to them 12 baskets. Some kind of way they had more than enough and they had leftovers. So when God is in the middle of it, it's more than enough to be a blessing and to add leftovers. Here we go. All right, let's get back to verse 18. And it came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? Remember, the people were already talking. They told Jesus in verse 19, Jesus answered, saying, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah. And family, make a note with Elijah. It was 2 people who did not see death in the Old Testament. They didn't die to transition. One was Enoch. God told him, come up for a day. I need to talk to you. But the only problem in heaven is always day. So he's still up there. All right. He said, come up for a day. It's no night in heaven. So you go up for a day and you're just there. Amen. So that's why Enoch, he didn't come back. He's still waiting for night. It ain't coming. And then you have Elijah, who was taken up in a chariot of fire. And then the Jews believed that the same way they saw Elijah go up, that Elijah was going to come back. That's why they said that this is we think it's Elijah who's come back. And then some of them said it's just one of the old prophets who's raised up again. All right, so let me read this. See where I'm. Oh, God can perform miracles and have leftovers to bless others in a desert place. The crowd comes for the show. They don't want to be disciples. Oh, okay. So it showed the difference between the crowd and the disciples. The disciples were alone. The crowd just came when there was food. The crowd comes for food and provision. They don't truly want to know God in a personal way. The crowd runs to God when there is trouble in their life, but you can't find them when things are going well. The crowd is not looking for commitment or conviction. They're looking for convenience and comfort. The crowd is only looking for feeling good, not feeling God. The crowd, they're looking for happiness. They're not looking for holiness. Jesus wanted to draw the distinction between the crowd and his disciples. So they would know, so you and I would know, there's a huge difference between someone in the crowd and a disciple of Jesus Christ. Don't be deceived. Everyone in the crowd is not a disciple. So Jesus asked the question, who do people say that I am? Hey, and I even have in my notes, hey, do an informal survey at your job. Hey, it's Christmas time, right? Merry Christmas. All right. So it's a perfect time to do it. Ask the people on your job, who do you say Jesus is? Take a survey. Well, you got to do it during lunchtime so you won't get any trouble. Do it during off-the-clock time so they won't try and say you proselytize. Just ask the question, hey, what are you doing for Christmas? Oh, yeah, you know, hey, but who is Jesus? There you go. Okay, and then just kind of write down your results and then bring them to Bible study and let's discuss them. I lost y'all. I know I did. I tried to slide that in. Y'all too sharp for that. Yeah, y'all too sharp for that. But do that. Just do that. When people are saying Christmas, say, yeah, well, who do you say Jesus is? And just take a note. Amen? So here we go. Look at verse 19. Let me see. I have some. Oh, okay. Make a note of this, too. This miracle where Jesus feeds the 5,000, it is the only miracle that is mentioned in all four Gospels. Amen? Amen. It's mentioned in all four. There is provision and a blessing in the desert place. Have another note. I write these things as I'm studying, right? Make a note of this. True faith must rely on divine resources. Let me say that again. Because when you're in the middle of the desert place, you don't know where it's coming from, but true faith has to rely on God. I'm in this place right now. I need you to move. True faith, true trusting in God. There's some point where it has to rely on divine resources, where regardless of what you and I do, it just ain't going to happen. True faith relies on divine resources. And I don't mean that you go out and be reckless with your money and your paycheck and then say, God, I need. No, that's not what that's saying. It's saying that what you have when you are a good steward of it and you need extra, that God will some kind of way provide if that's his will. Because remember, he's not a genie in a bottle. You're not going to rub him and poof, what do you need? God, that's not the God we serve. Because what you probably need is not in a bottle. That's two ways you can look at that. Amen. But God is just not going to pop it up for you. That's not how God operates. As we'll find out as we keep reading. So here we go. Verse 20. It is the payoff. And he said unto them, but who do you say that I am? So we know what the crowd is saying. But then, family, what are you and I saying? And it's not just lip service. We can say it, but OK, let's put it this way. What is what you say line up with your lifestyle? OK, let me see. Because the word say, when you look at it in the Greek, it means to teach. Okay, so what are you teaching people who Jesus, how are you teaching people who Jesus Christ is by the way you live? When people look at your life and they want to see how Jesus Christ is, they look at your life and what are you teaching them? Maybe I'm not saying that well enough. Let me try and see. Okay, let me read what I have. Say means to teach. Say means to teach. Who do you teach with your lifestyle that I am? That's what Jesus is asking them. What do you teach with your lifestyle that I am? It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to live it. Are you living your life based on what you say? If I were to take a survey, most people say Jesus is God. He's this, he's that. But when I look at your life, would it line up? That's what the scripture's saying. Verse 20, and he said unto them, but who do you teach with your life that I am? Peter answering said, the Christ of God, the Messiah sent from God. Wow, this is like a Christmas message too, huh? The Messiah sent from God. Merry Christmas. That's who Jesus Christ is. And he charged them and commanded them to tell them, don't tell anybody else because it's not my time. There's a lot of haters out there. They'll kill me now. And that's not the plan, because, you know, back in the Jewish culture, if you said you were God, that's blasphemy and you get killed. And that's why they killed Jesus Christ, because he said he was God. People would say, well, he was just a good man or he was a prophet, but they killed him because he said he was God. That's why he got crucified, because the penalty is death. And he was saying, don't tell anybody now because it's not time for me to die. I still have work to do. Thank God, Lord, we hope we have plenty of work to do before you call us home. But in God's timing, but look what he says. 22, the Son of Man must suffer. I got to still suffer so many things. Y'all know we don't like to hear that. But he said, I got to go through many things. I got to be rejected of the elders and the chief priests. And then they got to kill me. And then I got to resurrect the third day. Merry Christmas. You got to go through a lot. That's not, people don't want to hear that. You got to go through a lot. You got to get rejected. People are going to kill you, and then God's going to send you right to heaven. That's the good news of the gospel, but that don't sound like good news. I know that's not proper English, but that don't sound like good news. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God sent his son to die for our sins. Read this. Okay, I'll read it. Then Jesus shares the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Doesn't sound like good news. Where you and I are right now may not sound like good news, but God's timing is impeccable. At the right time, for those of us who are truly disciples, God's plan will manifest itself, and we will see how all things work together for good. Knowing that God is a God of detail, order, timing, and specifics. Don't just be in the crowd. Be a committed disciple. Regardless of where we are right now, as Jesus had to go through the suffering and many things, somebody underline many things. It's our testimony. Some of us, our testimony right now, we're going through a lot. But some kind of way, as we were even studying in Job, some kind of way God allows it, and some kind of way God works it out, where the end is better than the beginning and everything that we went through. But can we trust God with that? Or do I have to take over? Do I have to do my own thing? Can I wait for God? Do I really believe what I'm reading? And it even gets better. Verse 23, and then we're going to wrap this up for now and take communion and go out and live this thing. And he said unto them all, if any man will follow after me, let him deny. And I had to put down deny. Deny, let him disown or lose sight of oneself and one's own self-interest, forget yourself. Let him deny himself and take up his cross. Cross meaning self-denial. Let him forget himself and then take up his self-denial every day and follow me. Let me tell you again what it says. If any man will follow after me, if any man truly wants to be my disciple, let him forget himself, lose sight of himself, and take up his self-denial every day and then commit to me. That's totally contrary to what the world says. World is saying promote yourself. And this is a deal breaker for most people. You know, I'm not going to do that. The world is saying promote yourself. Jesus is saying deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. The world is saying be comfortable and be happy. Jesus is saying follow me. The world says do your own thing, follow your dreams, make your own path, be who you are. Even if you don't know who you are, but definitely don't follow Jesus. It's all about you and what makes you happy. And you guys, I'm not talking about progressing. I'm not, you know, we got business owners in here. We got dreams in here. We got all that. I'm not saying that, but I'm talking about being a disciple. In the midst of that, know who you are in Jesus Christ. And if it comes down to me doing my thing and me doing God's thing, me compromising, me selling out, I'm following Jesus. Look at verse 24. Because if you get into your life like that, you're going to lose it. Why? Because you can't save yourself. But if you surrender your life for my sake, then you're saved because I'm going to cover your sins. He said, if you're trying to hold on to this thing, you're going to lose it because you can only go so far. You can't save yourself. And look at verse 25. Then, for what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? What are you advantage in? And the world right here is the cosmos, which is the orderly system of deception. What advantage is it to you if you have gained an orderly system of deception and lose your soul? And then he gets into verse 26, and we'll close it out right here. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and his Father's and the holy angels. So he put it like this. He said, check your shame meter, right? Are you ashamed to admit you are a follower of Jesus Christ? Ain't that something? When God gives you the opportunity to share your faith, are you ashamed of the word of God? When God gives you an opportunity to share it, do you stay silent? When our youth are at school and they're talking all this crazy stuff about God and this, that, do you step up and say, well, you know, the Bible teaches. Are you ashamed of it? When we're in our job at our lunch break and they're talking all this foolishness and, no, wait, hold up, that's not what God teaches. God says, Jesus said, if you are ashamed of the word of God, Jesus, I will look at you and shake my head when I come in all my glory with my Father and the glory of the holy angels. You know what I'm saying? Wait, because that's what it says. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and his Father's and the holy angels. He gonna look at you and go. Remember the difference between guilt and shame. Guilt is when you feel bad because of what happened, of a mistake you made. Shame says, I am the mistake. Shame of Christ says, God, you're a mistake. I'm ashamed of you. You should have never happened. That's why Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to look at you and shake my head. As we take communion, let us think about the cost of true discipleship. What it cost Jesus and what it's costing us right now. What are you denying for the sake of the kingdom of God? How Jesus forgave, and can we forgive? Jesus showed compassion. Can we show compassion? Jesus loved unconditionally, and we have to attach strings to our love. So as we prepare for communion, just think about it. It's not a ritual. This is the relationship we have. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Make a note, those of you that take notes. Communion is a chance for us to put our life and our thoughts back in biblical perspective. Trust me, Jesus saw all this before we saw it. He knew this world would be a mess. Somebody say amen. Amen. He knew this world would be a mess. He said, do this in remembrance of me. So look, what I want you to do, I want you, when you get home, just for 5 minutes, at some point tonight, watch the news. Just for 5 minutes. No more than five, because I don't want you to be depressed all evening. Okay? Now, I want you, Jesus knew this world would be a mess. So I say, keep your life in biblical perspective. Do this in remembrance of me. That he died. I'm going to read this scripture, and then the men are going to pass it out. Verse 22. Jay, put us back on verse 22. The Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected of the elders, chief priests, scribes, be slain and resurrected that third day. Somebody say amen. Amen. So as we take communion, it's because he was betrayed, but he was able to give thanks on the night which he was betrayed. Thank you. Thank you, men. Thank you, Lord. Think about the cost of discipleship. Think about forgiveness. Who do I need to forgive? Who am I holding on to? Who am I holding hostage with my anger and my unforgiveness? As if God hasn't forgiven me of everything. And Jay, take us to 1 Corinthians 11, 23. On the night in which Jesus Christ was betrayed, he was able to give thanks. So regardless if you've been betrayed, you've been stabbed in the back, you still got to give thanks and you still have to forgive them. Let me say that again. If you have been betrayed, stabbed in the back, stabbed in the front, the side, the top, and the bottom, you still got to forgive them. You got to let it go. If you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, even if you're not a member of the church, please take communion. Because you don't have to be a member. You're already a body of Christ, in the body of Christ. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then don't take communion. It's just that simple. Jesus Christ said, do this in remembrance of me. Paul is saying, for I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Next verse. Thank you. And when he had given thanks, the same night, hear what he's saying. The same night he was betrayed, he was able to give thanks. And he broke it. He said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me, that we would never forget what God has done for us. Even though it's been 2017 years ago, we still take communion. God is real. Don't ever forget that. Thank you, Lord, for leaving the evidence to let us know you're real. That's why you tell us, keep the Sabbath. So we remember, after all these thousands of years, God is real. We keep the Sabbath because God said so. We take communion 2017 years later because God said so. Regardless of what the world says, don't forget God. Elevate that which represents his body. Lord, we thank you that you told them. They didn't understand it. We don't understand all of it. But you said you got to suffer many things. Then they're going to kill me. I'm going to be rejected, killed, but I'm going to resurrect on that third day. It looks horrible, but wait till I resurrect and see what happens then. Thank you, Lord, for paying a physical price so we could be free. Even if our situation looks horrible, Lord, we know that you're in the middle of it and it's going to work out. And if it looks good, we're going to run to you and stay close to you while it's looking good. And if it falls apart, when it falls apart, we're going to stay right next to you, Lord, privately. Thank you for paying a physical price in place of us. Go on and eat that which represents his body. Then elevate that which represents his blood. The book of Leviticus says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Jesus Christ had to die so we could live. Never forget that. His blood has saved us, rescued us from death, hell, sin, and the grave. We need something to cover our sins. Don't be uncovered. Don't leave the coverage area of God. Stay connected to God. Jesus said, do this. Know that you're cleansed. Don't condemn yourself. Get close to God. Confess those sins. Stay connected to God. And then live and walk with God. Thank you, Lord, for dying on that cross for us, for shedding your blood so that we could be free. We love you and we bless you for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go on and drink that which represents his blood. And Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The men are coming to collect the cups. Once your cup is collected, you can stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed.